Father, we give you not only this meeting, but of all time during this conference.
Amen.
Pray that day by day you will cleanse us, purify us.
Amen.
Wash all the defilement away from our heart. We want to cooperate with you. We want to purge away all the leaven. To keep the feast of the unleavened bread.
Amen.
That you may fill our heart, the heart of all the saints, with yourself.
Amen.
This really is what we desire in these last days.
Amen.
We want to be holy as you are holy.
Amen.
And we pray that in this conference you will speak through all the brothers. And that all the saints will have an ear to hear your speaking.
Amen.
We pray you would bless each one of us, and especially the children also.
Amen.
We consecrate this time to you and all the saints.
Amen.
And Father, may your will be done.
Amen.
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 Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Do we all have the outline? English and Chinese, and wow, we have all kinds of outline. German too? No? But almost all the German saints understand English, right? I think it's very appropriate and timely that the Lord gave us this burden for the matter of holiness to bring us to perfection. You all remembered the constitution of the heavenly kingdom, right? In the end of chapter 6, it says what? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Maybe very few of us, perhaps none of us, believe that we can be perfected, to be like the Father, that he is perfect, because we all say, oh, no one is what? Have you said that many times? Nobody's perfect. Right? Niemand ist vollkommen. Haben wir das oft gesagt, gell? Nobody's perfect. So we don't even believe that we can be perfected. Do you believe you can be perfected as the Heavenly Father is perfect? If it's not possible, I don't think God will tell us in his word, be perfect. Surely, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You might ask, how can I be perfect? Well, it's very simple. Your heavenly Father is perfect. And he has begotten you. He has given you your life. And his Son, the wonderful Son, a perfect Son, dwells where? In your heart, if you would let him make his home in your heart. And then the Holy Spirit, of course, is in you, day by day, to lead you into all reality, into all truth. So, can you be perfect? With all this wonderful supply, even the Father himself dwells in us. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father and I will come to him and make our abode in him. Isn't that wonderful? So such a perfect Father today is in us, Amen. Dwelling in all of us. That is why the Word can tell us, be perfect. But if you don't believe, and if you think, no, come on, nobody's perfect, I cannot make it, okay, then you're an unbeliever. You're an unbeliever if you don't think I can be perfect. Right? Of course, not overnight. Nobody can be perfect overnight, but you can be perfect, and you are being perfected day by day, more and more. It has to be like this. Right? When a child is born, he has all the parts of a human life. He has a brain, a very wonderful brain, almost a perfect human life, perfect eyesight, right? The ability to learn so many things, but of course not in 1 week. But in 20 years, this child will be perfected in many ways and in many things. What about our Christian life? What about our Christian life? You have been perfected as an optometrist. I hope so, right? Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't be going to you and asking you to check my eyes, my goodness. I won't go to Marcus to check my eyes because he's not perfected in optometry. Right. But I will go to you because I know you're perfected. We can be perfected. If you can be perfected in many of your professions, what about our spiritual life? Do you want to be perfected? Do you care to be perfected? Do you desire to be perfected? This is the whole point. But if you, from the offset, believe, no, I cannot make it. I cannot be perfect. I'm not perfect, and nobody is perfect. Show me somebody that is perfect. When you went to Germany, did you believe that you can make it? Huh. Was it easy? No. Of course not. Nobody promised that it's going to be easy, right? Your parents promised that, oh, yeah, go, go, go. I promise you it's going to be very easy. No. No. But you went. And you went through it. And now you're done. You're perfected. And you don't believe spiritually you can be perfected. Surely, can we be perfected? I'm not very convinced that you believe that you can be perfected. You should say, amen, we can be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just the very fact that the Lord said it, be perfect, amen, as your Heavenly Father is perfect, right, shows that it's possible. Shows that it's possible. Right? You have the capacity to be perfected. You're born again. You're created a wonderful human being. Just like the Word says, I'm wonderfully created. Except you need to be perfected. Believe that you can be perfected. Otherwise, why believe that you're going to enter into the kingdom? If you don't believe that you can be perfected, then why do you believe you can enter into the kingdom? Right? So, praise the Lord. We need to believe we can be, and we will be perfected. Not because of ourselves and by ourselves only, but because the Heavenly Father is there to help me. Right, you have 3 children. How are they being perfected? You help them, don't you? Right? You help your son, you help your 2 daughters every day. You discipline them, you help them. If they have any problems, they come to you. Be perfect as your earthly father is perfect. Without the parents, you left the children alone there. It's very hard for them to be perfected. But we have a heavenly Father to help us to be perfected. So what's the problem? No problem. If you have any problem, our heavenly Father is there to help us. Go to him. Turn to him. Anytime, in every situation, we have such a heavenly Father to perfect us. Praise the Lord. You may fail this and there once in a while, you know. Sure. But a Father is there to support you, to help you, to encourage you, to even supply you with strength and his Spirit. What a wonderful Spirit given to you. Spirit of what? Wisdom and understanding. Spirit of what? Counseling. Wow. He is the best counselor. Amen. Right? And a spirit of might, power to help you. And then the knowledge. And then the fear of the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful Spirit. Don't you have it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Can you make it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. We have to believe because we have a wonderful God. The Almighty God. With men, the Lord says it's impossible, but with God, some things are possible. Right. All things are possible, especially to perfect us. Go on to perfection. Hebrews chapter 6 tells us we have to go on to perfection. So praise the Lord. You look at Peter. In the beginning, he has so many different troubles. But at the very end, he is perfected. You think Paul was perfected right away? No. No way. No way. John, right? He is the son of thunder. The Lord even told him, well, you don't know what kind of a spirit you have. Oh, okay, then I better quit. No, don't quit. The Lord is there to help and to perfect them. And at the end, my, what a wonderful brother. What a wonderful apostle. Right. He's not in any way superhuman, better than you, no. I think we're just the same. You even perhaps have a better background. He was a fisherman. A fisherman can be, what a wonderful apostle. Can you imagine that? So what qualification did he have in the very beginning? Fishing. That's not much qualification. I think we all have a better qualification than John, the son of Zebedee. We're more qualified. We're more qualified than John. Oh, John will tell you that. You went to school for how many years? How many years have you went to school from kindergarten all the way until you finish and graduate college? How many years is that altogether? 14 plus, or 12 plus 4, is 16 years. 20 years, whoa. So John will say, I didn't have 20 years of education. You do. And you are telling me that I'm more qualified than you. I'm just a simple fisherman. You think John was holy to start with? The Lord called all those holy people there. All those holy people are in Jerusalem. You think Matthew was a holy man when the Lord called him? He was a tax collector. You know, tax collector doesn't have, they didn't have good reputation. They're probably very unholy. Don't you think so? He would tell you, I wasn't holy when the Lord called me. I wasn't perfect. But let me tell you, if you follow this man, Jesus, you follow him. Follow the Lamb. Trust in him. Believe in him. Learn of him. Spend time with him. You'll be changed. You'll be transformed. Don't remain as you are. No. No, no, no. Even as a human being, you don't remain as you are, do you? Then, as a son of God right now, a child of God, why do you want to remain as you are spiritually? You have to keep on going until you reach the goal. Amen. Even Paul says, I press toward the mark. Right? Especially now, at the very end of this age, we are close to the end. You don't have much time. None of us have much time. We all have the same time left. And you want to make it to the goal. Praise the Lord. Work hard. Follow the Lamb. Don't say, oh, too much pressure. Don't say that. Okay? Don't you have pressure? But you got your PhD. But your PhD is nothing. You can throw it into the trash can there. Just a piece of paper signed by the professor, not by the Lord Jesus. You work so hard for a PhD, which is nothing. Why not work hard to qualify for the coming kingdom? Amen. What does the Lord say if you gain the whole world, 10 PhDs, and you became a billionaire or a famous guy, and you lose your soul? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I think we all have tried so hard to attain something in this world today, right? And at the end, what do you have? A piece of paper. That's right. Right? A piece of paper. And then you lose your soul. What profits a man if he gained everything but he lost his soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul? We need to see the goal right now in a very clear way, okay? Right? And don't think, oh, it's too hard. No, let me tell you, what is easy? You tell me what is easy. Is opening up your business easy? It's very difficult. No pressure? Oh, especially if it's your own business, it's more pressure. Isn't it? Or you're the boss, so easy, right? No, it's not easy. It's not easy. Working for Apple, is it easy? You can just easy come, easy go. It's in and out, and you just... They're going to kick you out. That's right. And you think the Lord will not kick you out? Why, in all other things, you're willing to take the pressure, but to be perfected spiritually, you said, it's hard. I cannot make it. Who says you cannot make it? You think the Lord will ask something of you that you cannot make it? He's your counselor. He's your life. He's everything to you. And this new man, Christ, is all in it all. He dwells in you. Right. Whatever you need, you can go to him, ask, and maybe he will give it to you. Huh? With pleasure, he's going to give to you. Knock harder until your bones break, then he will open the door. Is that the way? No. Right. So let's change our concept. Don't let the enemy lie to you. No. We can make it.
Amen.
All the apostles made it except one, Judas. But you're not Judas. Are you Judas? Raise your hand if you are. No, we're not. We are not. But all the apostles, the disciples of the Lord, they all made it. Yes. And they all told us how to make it. Especially this Peter. I like Peter. He's not very complicated. His language is very easy. If he can make it, I think you and I can make it. Don't you think so? And he says, oh, you don't have to do anything. You'll make it. You'll have a rich entrance. We're doing nothing. No? What did he say? Be lazy. Oh, be easy. Take it easy. No need to do anything. What did he say? How many times did he say that? Many times. Oh, that's too much pressure. That's hard to be diligent. No. Playing soccer, is it easy? No. But you wake up at 5 o'clock to practice. Oh, is it 5 o'clock? Oh, that's for band. Whoa. 5 o'clock for band. What about for soccer? Evening at 6 o'clock. And come home at 9 o'clock. Close to 9 o'clock. Is it easy, the practice? Why do you do it? Just to run after a little ball. To run after a little ball from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Just to train to hit that little ball and to hit it in that rectangular, it's called goal. What kind of a goal is it? Right. But we have a wonderful goal in front of us. And the Lord is coming very soon. So let us wake up.
Amen.
Let us be diligent. Let us work for it. Right. Let us all learn and practice. If he can go there at 6 o'clock and after school, right? And then practice until 8:30 and come home at 9 o'clock just to kick a ball. I think we can all make it by practicing. Yeah. Nobody says it's easy. The Bible didn't say it is easy. And don't think grace means it's easy, it's free. No. Grace is training you. That's what Paul wrote to Titus. Training you what? Training you to leave the world, the corruption that is in the world, through lust and all these things, and denying, even yourself you deny. Right? What for? To be perfected, to make it to the goal. Don't think it is easy, but to don't think also that it's impossible. No, all things are possible. Yeah. For those who believe and those who are willing. Amen. Yeah, we can make it. Praise the Lord. Amen. And at the end of this age, you have to appreciate today the matter of holiness, because it may be the final stage. In this song that we just sang, the beginning, the final stage means the end. But we are talking about now in another point of view concerning the final stage of perfecting you. Right? Near graduation, well, that final stage is the stage of sanctification and holiness. Why did I say this? Because Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 1 that before even the foundation of the world, God has chosen us that we should be holy and without blame before Him. When God, even before He laid the foundation of the earth, the world, and He, of course, had His plan to create man, and this wonderful goal there is that we should be holy and without blemish, perfect before Him, and in love. It should be in love He predestinated us. Right? He is God. He is God. Right? So, even before the foundation of the world, and if you take a look at the very end of the Bible, what do you have there at the very end of the Bible? The great city? King James, the old King James says, and actually it is based on another Greek text, the great city. No, the great city is Babylon the Great. That is not Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not a great city. It's the what? The holy city. Holy city is a heavenly Jerusalem. Right? Not just any kind of a city, but the holy city. And only when the city is so holy, that means then it has the glory of God. God is, as you can see then later, glorious in holiness. Because if it's not holy, it cannot be glorious. Impossible. Impossible. Right. So for many years, I have heard the church, and the church must be this, the church must be active, must be strong, it must be living, the church must be what? Active. Right? We have so many descriptions about the church. But I hardly hear the word holy. A glorious church holy, without blemish. Amen. This is the definition, that he might present a church to himself glorious, which is holy and without blemish. We all want to have a church. We stress the oneness and oneness. At the end, there was no oneness. You know why? Now I know why. How can you have oneness with a bunch of unholy people? Yeah, you tell me how to have oneness with a bunch of people that are unholy. You do what you want, I do what I want. I don't agree with you. You don't like me. But I don't like you either. We are one in that. So at the end, although we talk about oneness so much, even today, we are one. And at the end, nobody is one. No, nobody is one. Why? Now you know why. Because you cannot have oneness if you are not holy. Impossible to be one. Impossible. For 40 years, at the very end of the 40 years, the church that I saw in those days became very corrupt and unholy. And people still believe that's the church. That's the church. But the Lord wants a holy church, not a corrupted church. The corrupted church is Babylon. Babylon the Great, with all kinds of corruption in there. Abomination even. Right? So it's not possible to have a church if it's not holy. Today we need to see, Lord, make us holy. Because the Lord wants to have a church that is holy and without blemish. A glorious church. This is the kind of church he wants to present to himself, not just any church. So today, people's concept is, as long as we are standing on that ground of oneness, even if we are a dead church, it's all right. Oh, please. How can it be? Even if we are so unholy, it's still the church. This kind of a concept is very, very unholy. It's an unholy concept in the brain of an unholy people. How can you have that concept? Even though it's so wrong, but it is still the church. The Lord wants a glorious church, which is holy and without blemish, even without spot, without wrinkle. Do you think it's possible? It is possible. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's why you have to come out of her. You have to come out of her, my people. Because the Lord wants to have a holy people. He wants a holy nation. Right. His people must be holy. And the whole scripture shows us that whenever his people or his city, even his temple, whenever it became unholy, and it became something else, turning the temple of God into a den of thieves, for example, or a place of idol worship. Oh, it's still the church. It's still the temple. You think the Lord will agree with that? The Bible tells us the Lord left. And he already left Why are you still there? Huh?
Nostalgia.
Yeah. We all need to see and to know this wonderful God. We're not just for some doctrine. Okay. We are for the living God. The Holy God.
Amen.
And it's all due to the fact that we do not know God. Our God is a holy God. And we know him as a powerful God. We know him as the almighty God. We know our God is all-knowing. He's merciful. He's loving. He's gracious. He's what? Caring, patient, kind. Now, of course, that's not wrong. But the Bible says mainly he is number one. He's holy. Then he is righteous. These three words you should never forget. I repeat it almost in every conference. He is holy, he is righteous, and he is glorious. Right. And all the other characteristics must be connected to all these three words. Yeah. God is holy in his nature. Inwardly. And this word holiness is a very inclusive word. Whatever God did, inwardly it is pure. It is pure. It is undefiled. It is perfect. God is such a God, a holy God. He cannot tolerate sin, defilement, evil, corruption, crookedness, and all the things of the works of the flesh mentioned there in Galatians. And he did say, and Paul, through Paul, all those things and people who did those things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Our God is a holy God. You know, when he created man, he created us as good, but not holy yet. Because only God is holy. Right? His nature has to be wrought into our being. Yeah. But unfortunately, somebody came in first. You know who? That serpent injected his sinful, evil, serpentine nature into man and corrupted human beings. So today we are impure, unholy. Unholy. Why did you think the Lord says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure? We may be impure, yes, definitely, but we need to have a desire. Lord, purify me.
Amen.
If I don't have a desire to be pure, to be purified, then I'm hopeless. Right? No wonder none of us can see God. Do you know why you cannot see God? Huh? And so, why not? Why not? Well, I'm not pure, but I can see you. And you're not pure, but you can see me. How come if you're not pure, you cannot see God? What happens if you see God, if you're not pure? You will disintegrate. You will melt like wax. That's what God told Moses, right the first time Moses, somebody asked him, may I see your face? The Lord says, no, because I'm too beautiful for you to see. Did he say that? Too beautiful for you to see? He says, because no one can see me and live. Why? Because we are not holy. After men fell, none of us are holy. Even if you do good, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, evil is present. It's tainted. It is defiled. You may think you're doing well, but evil is present. You may think you're doing good to help somebody, but it turned out sour. Have you ever tried that? You try to do something good, but it turns sour? Why? Because evil is present. Because we are not pure. We are not pure. That's why nothing works with us. It may work for a few weeks, maybe 1 year. Then after that, no more, it became corrupted. We are unholy. So, but we do not realize this. Unfortunately, we don't realize this. But let me tell you, the more you grow in life, the more you realize you're unholy. Maybe the young people do not realize that. But the more you know him, the more you are entering into fellowship with him, the more you realize, I am unholy. There's so much impurity within us. Right. We need a change. I need a change, and a continual change. Only God is holy. But then God's intention is to make you and me and all of us holy. But if you don't realize that you're unholy, you think you're good enough. I'm a good Christian. I'm okay. So many people think they are okay. The Christians, I mean, even unbelievers, they think they are okay. But we are not okay. Sorry to say this. We are not. Only God is really holy, but he made us to be a partaker of his holy nature, of his divine nature. But it doesn't mean that once you have a little bit, you're already holy. No, you must continue to partake. So all of the things through the Spirit now is dwelling in us, but then we need to keep on partaking of his divine nature. It's not once for all. That's why you need to give more diligence to keep on adding. And as you continuously partake of his divine nature, something more is added. Until at the very end, we are like him. So John says, when he appears, we shall be like him. This is the goal, to see him. But today we cannot see him with our physical eyes, but we can see him in our inner eyes, to be enlightened. Because you cannot see him with your physical eyes. No, we are not qualified yet. But when the Lord comes and we are fully transformed and our full redemption, which is the redemption of the body, when that occurs, then we can see him, then we will be like him. Amen. Now praise the Lord. This is our desire, to be like him. So holiness today is so important. Right? We need to know this very important point that God is holy. We don't have that concept within our mind. All the Christians talk about God is love. They stress this point. Love, love, and more love. First love, last love. I don't know what kind of a love they talk about. It doesn't matter. But today we need to know him as the Holy One. And all this outline with the verses, please read it for yourself. Right. But we can read a few verses right now to go to the first part of the outline. Right. We have in this title, of course, I think you all read it. Let us read 1 Peter first, yeah? Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. Right? Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Praise the Lord. Right in the very beginning of his epistle, Peter stressed and emphasized this matter. Gird up the loins of your mind. What does it mean, gird up the loins? That means you are prepared. Right? You're prepared. You're dressed for it. If you're doing sports, right, you have to be dressed for it. Right. You have to be prepared, especially in your mind. Be sober. Be sober. I think the brothers will share about this later. And rest your hope fully. Fully. Not just a little bit. No. Fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that is also grace. The coming of the Lord is also grace to us. As obedient children, not disobedient, but obedient, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. We are not ignorant now, praise the Lord. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. It's almost a command here, be holy. Not in some part of your living and your walk, but in all your conduct. You see, the apostle is not afraid, oh, you might run away. Or Rahul, after reading this verse, will say, oh, I better go to that denomination. They don't demand so much. Well, if you can do it, feel free to go. Yeah. Anyone is free. You decide what you want. Right? But here, be holy in all your conduct. But it takes practice. If you don't have this mindset in your mind, you need to make a decision, right? You made a decision in your mind, I can make it, I'm going, right? Did you? Or is it just an emotional matter? No, it's not an emotional matter. You made up your mind. Praise the Lord. And you made it. This is wonderful. Right. Gird up the loins of your mind and be obedient as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust. My, it takes a will not to be conformed. It takes your will also. That means it takes your whole being. Right. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Wow. What a mindset. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God is holy. From this day on, until the Lord comes back, we all need to know God as the Holy One. Right? And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here on this earth in fear. Wow, that's the way to practice holiness. Right. Just like in anything else. Why don't you just sleep a little longer and go to work any time you like and then come home early? And the boss says, do this or tomorrow. And when he comes tomorrow, he says, tomorrow. You know, tomorrow never comes. Why didn't you do that? Because you are afraid. Afraid of what? Be kicked out. You're afraid to lose your job. So, hey, to have a healthy fear is very good. It's very good. Normal. Except we think the fear of the Lord, oh, it's not necessary. Because it's all by grace. And it's all God's mercy. You don't have to do anything. And he won't kick you out. You'll be surprised. Huh? You'll be locked out. The door is locked. And you can knock all day and the Lord will not open the door. Yeah. So let us be holy, right? And let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Yep. Verse 1, right? Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Having these promises, praise God, we have the promises, God will do it. Huh? He promised. Right? Is it okay? He already promised you, right? Do you have the promise? Well, then you don't have to do anything. He promised. No. There is a condition to these promises. Let us cleanse ourselves from all practice. May not be able to do it all at once, but hey, do it not too slow, because we don't have much time, right? All filthiness, tell the Lord, Lord, get rid of it. I don't want this in my heart. Right? At the end of the year, I always clean out whatever is needed to have a new beginning next year. And Brother Otto came and helped me. And in the last 7 days, we have been doing a lot of repairing, trash it and trash that. And do I still need this? Trash it, throw it out, and getting rid of a lot of things. Right. But what about getting rid of the things that in us, do you trash it? We still treasure a lot of things. Oh, I can still use that. Throw it out. Believe me, if you keep it in your house after 10 years, you still won't touch it. You won't use it. Trash it. Trash it. How about that? Right, let's learn to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Oh, so a lot of people thought the spirit will not be influenced by filthiness. I was asked this question so many times. I thought I better make a recorder. And if somebody asked the question again, wait, I get to record in my smartphone, and this is the answer. No. Let me tell you. When you're talking about the three parts of men, you can make three circles as if they are separate. And you can even use, Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God pierced through and divide soul and spirit. Yeah, well, that's a wonderful verse. But practically, in our spiritual life, as a saved Christian, because some Christians are not saved, right? Yeah. Don't tell me if you're sick and you have great fever here. Your spirit can still stand up and then go out and preach the gospel. You have 103, 104 degrees. No, you cannot do anything. At most you can do is pray. And you'll usually pray, Lord, heal me. Right? It's going to affect your spirit. It's going to affect your spirit. Don't tell me it's not going to affect. And now if you watch this movie and Star Wars and all that, and I don't know what wars and all kinds of wars, this and that, and then, my, I tell you, you think whatever you watch will not influence your spirit? Will your spirit be so living and hallelujah when you're watching? Wow, you think your spirit will be so living and you think so? And what about watching a lot of other things there in the world, wherever you go? It will pull down your spirit. It will defile your spirit. Not just your soul, but your spirit as well. Right. It will defile your whole being. That's why many times if we have a bad conscience, our spirit is just flat. You got a flat tire. All the air went out. Yeah, it will defile your spirit. That's why it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. We all need to realize, the spirit is not as we think it is. Oh, it cannot be defiled. It will be defiled and influenced. Definitely. Right? So here, and then it says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness. Holiness needs to be perfected. Not just to be holy, but to be perfectly holy. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Because God is holy. That is why in the Old Testament days, the priest is the only one, the high priest, can only once a year enter, and not without blood, but only once a year. But nobody else could enter. Right? Because God is holy. Yeah. Then let us read 1 Thessalonians. It's 9 o'clock. Yeah. Chapter 3, remember, The church in Thessalonica is a very young church. Very young church. I wish when I was young in a church life, the brothers and the saints there, the older saints, will help me to be holy. Not just to give me some doctrines about the church and about our life and all this and activities and preaching the gospel and doing all that and so many other things, right? But Paul, especially in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, emphasized two things there. Number one, in every chapter he talks about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's coming. To a young church, talks about the Lord's coming. That means it is so important in Paul's heart. And the second point that Paul tried to help them is to be holy. Right. 12 and 13, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. And the goal is, let's read together, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. That is the way to prepare for the Lord's coming. Amen. Blameless in holiness, that he may establish our hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? In other verses, let us read, of course, chapter 5. Let us read chapter 5. I still don't know how to use this properly. Chapter 5, verse 23. Okay, let us start with 19 to 23 and 24. How about that? Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace itself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is important, to prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The best way and the only way is that we'll be sanctified completely. Amen. And our whole being will be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We may not know everything in the Bible, but you are responsible to cooperate with him, that he will sanctify you completely. That everybody can do. Praise the Lord. This is more important than knowing so many doctrines. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't know. But holiness is very important, because if we are not holy, whatever you know means nothing. It's not going to work. You may know the whole Bible, but at the end, everything is corrupted. It's useless. So holiness is very important. Of course, we don't have that much time to get into it to show you that our God is really a holy God. But you yourself can read the outline. That's good enough. Right? Go through the verses in the outline, and pray about it. Because the Word of God itself can wash you and can enlighten you. It's not the explanation. It is the living Word itself. When you read it with an open heart and desire to be holy, as the Word says, then the Word of God is adequate to help you. Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.